1 Corinthians 14, we're actually going to wrap the chapter up this week. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I didn't look back to find out when we actually started this chapter, but this chapter is really the third chapter in a series that began in chapter 12, where Paul began to address spiritual gifts, and he's going to bring it to a conclusion in the verses that we're going to study today, and then go on to a new subject in chapter 15. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the verses that we're going to read, verses 36 through 40, there's nothing particularly difficult in understanding the verses. They're kind of clear and easy to understand, but it'll give me an opportunity to emphasize some things that need emphasized. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 36. It says, "What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do pray that as we conclude this chapter, that all the things that we've studied and learned in the past, that there might be just some reflection, some reminders given to our mind about the things that we've studied so that we could understand the conclusion that much clearer. And then, Father, help us to focus in on a particular point that's been made in this conclusion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've actually titled, beginning verse 36 through 40, "A Call for the Acknowledgement of Paul's Authority," and a conclusion of chapters 12 through 14, especially chapter 14. The conclusion being that verse 40 there, "Let all things be done decently and in order." He's been dealing with the subject of spiritual gifts, and they haven't been done decently, they haven't been done in order in the Corinthian church, and so Paul has been correcting several things, and now he's already been through several things, and then he's going to call on them to acknowledge that the things that he wrote to them, these things that he wrote, all of his writings, are the commandments of the Lord, so that they would go back and then obey the things that he taught them, even though it was contrary to how they were holding their services and conducting themselves. So that's the whole point of this. In verse 36, you might notice where it starts with the word "what" and a question. When Paul does that, he's not finished rebuking the carnal, the fleshly Christians who were operating in the flesh rather than operating spiritually in regards to spiritual gifts. That is a rebuke when he says, "What?" You might notice, if you just flip back to chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, where they were living incorrectly, and he says in verse 19, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's," which are his. So when he says in that verse 19, "What, know ye not," they're conducting themselves as if they didn't realize that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that they need to glorify God in their body and in their spirit. He's talking to their soul and telling them to glorify God in their body and their spirit because they belong to the Lord once you're a believer. So that word "what" is he's really rebuking them. Well, he's been dealing in chapters 12 through 14 about spiritual gifts, and then when you get to that verse 36 where we start our reading today, he says, "What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only?" And there's an implication there that in the subject of prophecy and tongues, that the Corinthians seem to have an attitude that the attitude is, well, we got prophets here. We don't need an outsider telling us anything. And therefore, we have all the truth because we got our own prophets, and they resent anyone from the outside coming in to telling them something that they maybe didn't know. And certainly the implication there is the Apostle Paul. So we've talked about how there was, before the word was complete, before God's revelation to the Gentile churches was completed by the Apostle Paul, they did have the gift of prophecy, God speaking through prophets. But they had, you can read that verse and realize they had an attitude that, okay, we got our prophets, we don't need anybody else. We don't need to learn from someone else outside of us. And whether that's Paul or anybody else, it seemed like they had that attitude, and that's what Paul begins to scold them about. What came the word of God out from you? That is, only your prophets have the word of God and can share it with someone else, but you can't take something from somebody else and take it into your assembly and your understanding. Or came it unto you only, as if God's only speaking to the prophets at the church of Corinth. And he's scolding them for that fact. And they needed to realize that God is speaking through other people, and there's input from other saints, and they need to learn from those other saints. And then there's the call to acknowledge the Apostle Paul and what he is writing is the commandment of the Lord, because eventually they're going to be left with Paul's scripture, and that's going to be the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. So Paul scolds them for their attitude of thinking this way. The word only in the last part of that verse, came it unto you only, as if they got a handle on the word of God and nobody else does. You know, there is an application that a lot of church denominations have and grace churches can have. And that is, we got a handle on the truth. There can't be any input from anybody else. So denominational churches, they have their creeds, they have their statements of faith, and no one wavers from those statements of faith. Even if someone comes and shows them some scripture outside of the things that they believe, they can't hear it because it's not part of their doctrinal statement. And I say that just talking about them, denominations. But at the same time, we as grace believers understand some things that those other denominations don't understand. We're going to talk about that quite a bit here. But in doing that, sometimes we think we got a handle on the truth and no one can add anything to us. And if you have that attitude, you're wrong. Now, the truth today is that the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues have ceased. That God's complete revelation is given to us, and it's in God's Word, and what we do now is preach the Word. But it's not like I'm the only one that has any input to give you, or that everybody, the elders in this church, we have all the truth and no one else has anything. You need to be able to listen to what other people have to say, search the Scriptures to see if it's so, and believe the truth. And there's always growth. You're never going to get to the place where you understand everything. And so there's always another time where you can add another piece of information, and it might come from some unlikely source, someone that you didn't really think that he had much handle on the Scriptures, or she. We could have that same attitude that the Corinthians have. So I start out with a little practical application to that verse, but the Corinthians certainly had that attitude, and Paul scolds them for having that attitude. So then he gets to the point in verse 37. He says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So they certainly weren't conducting themselves the way the Apostle Paul told them to conduct themselves, or to use the gifts the way God intended them to use the gifts, as he corrected them in chapters 12, 13, and 14. Now he's saying, if someone's a prophet or someone's spiritual among you, let him acknowledge that what I've written right unto you is the commandments of the Lord. It's not Paul's word, it's the Lord's word. This is what Jesus Christ said concerning the gifts and the use of tongues and prophecy and all spiritual gifts, as chapter 12 began talking about them all. So that the Corinthians now are being challenged, called on to acknowledge the truth that's been taught that we've been studying for several months now, chapters 12, 13, and 14. So when he says he calls on them, he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet, well, you realize there is that gift of prophecy we've been talking about. Look back to chapter 12 as just a reminder. And it's also a reminder of the fact that all the gifts that were given center around God's revelation to the body of Christ. As it is written in Paul's epistles. That is, God speaking to the body of Christ, the truth, the doctrine for the body of Christ, and whether it's the revelation itself, the message itself, or whether it's a confirmation that message is true, or whether it's the communication of that message. That's what the idea of tongues would be, is to be able to communicate that, because God has turned to the Gentiles, the nations of the world, where back in Genesis chapter 11, he confounded their languages. And now he's got a message for all the Gentiles, and there's this gift of tongues. Not only the revelation comes, but how to communicate that revelation in other languages, and then confirm also that it's of God. So in chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And that manifestation means you're going to see the Holy Spirit work supernaturally in men. And here's what they do. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. It's given to all men, as it said in verse 7, to profit everybody. It's not a personal profit. And it's given by the Spirit of God. Man doesn't decide, I'm going to be a prophet. That's why Paul over here is saying, if any man think himself to be a prophet, you think that you're, by the Spirit of God, have the gift of prophecy, then you're to acknowledge something. But that man who thinks himself a prophet is one who speaks God's word by the Spirit of God through the gift of prophecy. That's why I read those verses to you. He's not speaking on his own. He's not thinking what's coming out of his head. He's been given a word, a revelation from God, and the Holy Spirit is speaking through the mouth of man the word of God. And Paul says, now if a man think himself to be a prophet, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of Christ. Because the Spirit of God is going to confirm Paul, what Paul has written here, as being the word of God, the commandments of the Lord. But Paul not only said, if any man think himself to be a prophet, he says, or spiritual. Now, I called the Corinthians carnal a moment ago because that's the opposite of spiritual. Carnal is fleshly, just being guided by flesh. Spiritual is being guided by the Spirit of God. Go all the way back to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. We were introduced to what spiritual is back here. It says in verse 12, it says, now we have received, 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's a man without the Spirit of God, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So someone spiritual is someone who has God's word in his mind, the mind of Christ, and can discern some things. And so Paul is saying, if a man among you is spiritual, he's got the mind of Christ, and he can discern things, let him acknowledge that the things that I'm writing unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So he's calling on those, the prophets, and a man who would be spiritual, guided by the truth of God's word, to acknowledge that the things he's writing are the commandments of the Lord. Well, when it says to acknowledge, that back there in chapter 14, in verse 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write. The acknowledgement there is what we already read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, where it says, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. That's a man who listens to a prophet and discerns that this guy is speaking the truth, and he confirms it. And now Paul's calling on the prophet and the spiritual man to acknowledge, to confirm that what Paul is writing is indeed the commandments of the Lord. And it's not Paul's own thoughts about things, it's the commandments of the Lord. We saw it again in chapter 14, if you look at verse 29. where it says, let the prophet speak, two or three, and let another judge. That's that discernment, judging whether he's speaking the truth of God or not. And now Paul's calling on men who are spiritual and men who are prophet to acknowledge the Apostle Paul. So the confirmation there that what Paul is writing is the commandments of the Lord. And then where Paul says, the things that I write unto you. Understand the things here. Prophets were speaking God's word. But now here's Paul writing God's word. When you write God's word, there's another term for that in the Bible. It's called scripture. You get script because what scripture is the written word of God. And what a man who is spiritual or a man who is a prophet, what they're to acknowledge is what Paul is writing down is indeed the verbal, inspired word of God for us Gentiles. And so they're to acknowledge that the things he writes and what he is writing is going to be called scripture because he's writing it down, that is the word of God. And doesn't just call it the word of God, he calls it the commandments of the Lord. Because what Paul wrote is not a bunch of suggestions on how you should do church. He's writing how God, the Lord Jesus Christ said the church should operate, especially concerning the spiritual gifts. And these are the commandments of the Lord. Now, we're not under the law, so sometimes you see the word commandments, you think of 10 commandments. Paul always says you're under grace, you're not under the law. But there is guidelines to the body of Christ. What I mean by that, come over to Romans, that's the book before Corinthians, Paul's first epistle, and look at Romans chapter 1. And he says in verse 5, we'll probably refer to this verse again later, it says, by whom, and that is, he's by God, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, notice what it says, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. Now, you know, prior to the Apostle Paul, God was dealing with a nation, the nation, Israel. The Gentiles were cut off. With the rising up of the Apostle Paul, God now has a word for the nations. Another term for nations is Gentiles. That's where that name Gentiles comes from. But I wanted you to catch in that the Apostle Paul, as he's writing, he received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. The faith is God's word to us that we're to believe. And not just believe, but in some cases, obey. And so the Apostle Paul, when he's writing over there in Corinthians, let a man, a prophet or a man who's spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. It's God's word to us. And there's God's word to us that we're to believe and obey. Come over to chapter 16 of Romans. Because that's the introduction to the book of Romans. And as Paul concludes the book of Romans, he says in verse 25 of chapter 16, he says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. When Paul concludes there, he's actually saying three things are able to establish you. The first is his gospel. I'll talk about that in a little while here. But the first thing is his gospel. The second thing is, he calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Paul didn't preach Jesus Christ as the Messiah of the nation of Israel. He preached Jesus Christ as the Savior who came and gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time, where Paul says, wherein I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I lie not, I speak the truth in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is the one that God gave a revelation about Jesus Christ, a revelation that's not part of the Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament prophecies all pointed out a Messiah coming to Israel to save the nation of Israel, to set up a kingdom on here on earth, and to rule over the Gentile nations. That's what prophecy is all about. But God gave the Apostle Paul a revelation of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret, so it wasn't back in the prophets, since the world began, but now is made manifest by the Apostle Paul. That is a secret purpose that God is going to postpone his dealings with Israel to a future, and in the present time, he's calling out a Gentile, saving us by God's grace, that's Paul's gospel, for the purpose of what God wants to accomplish through Jesus Christ that involves heavenly places. That's why when we talk about the rapture, being caught up into heavenly places, that's why we talk about going to heaven when we die. That's only true of our age. Everybody else of prior ages and future ages, they're going to have a kingdom here on earth and be a part of that. But God had a secret purpose of glorifying Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, and Paul preached Jesus Christ, not a fulfillment of prophecy, but a mystery that was kept secret. And it has to do with the heavenly places. So the three things that are able to establish you is Paul's gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and then the third thing is, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for obedience of faith. The scriptures that are made known to all nations for obedience of faith is Paul's epistles. And the prophets there, they collected Paul's epistles, and if every man was in a church, his responsibility as a prophet in those churches is to acknowledge the things that Paul writes unto them are the commandments of the Lord. And the third thing that's going to establish you is the scriptures of the prophets. That is, Paul's epistles that has been collected, that is the doctrine for the churches, the doctrine that we're to obey for the obedience of faith. So Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians that if any man is spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And when he says, I write unto you, he says, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture, writing, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that Paul's writing is scripture, and it's the scriptures for our obedience of faith. And Paul says if a man's prophet or spiritual, he'll acknowledge that. So it's certainly putting the Corinthians in their proper place. He starts out where you think the word of God only came to you? Well, if a man's a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I'm writing to you are the commandments of the Lord. And now they're going to confirm that, okay, we've been doing things wrong, and we need to do it and obey what Paul wrote down, because that's not Paul's words, that's the commandment of the Lord. That's by inspiration, God giving us his word for us Gentiles to obey. So Paul writes to that. Now notice the next verse. After he makes that statement in verse 37, back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 38 now, he says, but, so there's a contrast here, he's calling on a man who's a prophet or spiritual to acknowledge what he's writing are the commandments of the Lord. Then he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Now that's strange, because you could find six places in Paul's epistles where he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. In fact, look at chapter 12, verse 1. Well, the whole subject of spiritual gifts began that way. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So all of a sudden we're reading a verse at the end of that subject, and he says, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Well, Paul don't want people to be ignorant. So there's an implication in that, and just like in verse 36, the Corinthians thought, no, you can't add anything to me. I don't want anything from the outside being added to me. Well, in response to that, Paul says in verse 38, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Because the word ignorant, sometimes we make it sound kind of bad. ignorant's not bad. Because ignorant itself, when Paul began the subject and said, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, ignorant just means to be uninformed, without knowledge, doesn't know. And so the way that you, if you're ignorant about something, then learn. Don't be ignorant. Learn, find out what the truth is. And that's what Paul's writing this, so they would know the truth of spiritual gifts. But there's also the implication, and part of the idea of what it means to be ignorant, it can also mean refuses to know, to ignore the truth, will not acknowledge the truth. Remember the verse above that? Let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, he's implying that if you're going to just say that no one outside of your prophets can tell you anything, and you're not going to acknowledge the things I write unto you, you're going to be ignorant, willful ignorant, by not acknowledging the truth. It's willful ignorance. Paul said, then let him be ignorant. And that's the implication. That's a strong rebuke there in verse 38. If any man be ignorant. And that the idea there is that willingly ignorant. But you know, the context there is Paul's epistles. If any man be willingly ignorant that the things Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord for us Gentiles, and they won't acknowledge who the Apostle Paul is and the authority of his epistles and what we as members of the body of Christ, we're not to fulfill Israel's law and Israel's prophecy. There are scriptures that are given to us by the Apostle Paul for this dispensation of grace in which we live today, that if any person is not going to acknowledge Paul's writing as the commandments of the Lord for this dispensation of grace, and you point that out to him, look, Paul said, and we're going to look at those verses in a minute, that Paul said he's the apostle of the Gentiles, that his verses, he says, the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Peter says, Paul's scriptures. That if someone won't acknowledge the verses that are very clear about who the apostle Paul is, and you show him that, and he's willfully ignorant, what do you do with a guy like that? Let him be ignorant. Just, you show him the truth, and if he doesn't want to acknowledge the truth, let him be ignorant. But don't you be ignorant. Don't you be that guy. Be one who understands who Paul is and grow from in that truth. Understand what that truth is about. Now let me conclude the chapter, and then we're going to go back to talking about the Apostle Paul, because I realize this is going to give me an opportunity to stress that the importance of that. So verse 39 and 40 bring the chapter to a conclusion. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. So he says three things at the end that concludes chapters 12 through 14, and particularly chapter 14 itself, where he gave the proper use of prophecy and tongues and the order that they're being conducted in the churches, the instructions of all that. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently in order. When he says, covet to prophesy, remember, that's how this chapter started? Chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. The Corinthians wanted to speak in tongues more than to prophesy. And he said, no, the great gift is prophecy because it edifies. Prophecy is speaking God's word and teaching the whole body of Christ the truth of God's word. When it says follow after charity, he told it in chapter 12, when he mentioned spiritual gifts, he said, I'll show you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is to be motivated by love, because gifts are going to end, but love doesn't end. But until they do end, rather prophesy. Look again at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Well, that's not the purpose of tongues. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So the whole point is why you should rather prophesy. And so when he concludes, he concludes in verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Prophesy. That is, covet that is the main gift operating in the church of Corinth, and that is prophecy, is speaking God's word so that all the saints can be edified. He does say, forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, I've been accused of that. Say, oh yeah, your church, you forbid anybody to speak in tongues. No, we forbid anybody speaking gibberish. And if you come in here speaking a language that no one understands, Paul, in his regulations, says he can't speak unless there's an interpreter. So we're going to cover this, but there is no spiritual gift in the first place of speaking in tongues. Look back at chapter 13, verse 8. The reason charity is the more excellent way, as chapter 12 ends and tells us about, chapter 13, verse 8 says, charity never faileth, but whether there'll be prophecies, they shall fail. God will stop speaking through the mouth of man. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. God will stop giving the gift of being able to speak in the languages of the nations. You know, what's really funny is even the churches that believe, they say they believe in tongues, but they speak in gibberish. They just, you know, a bunch of syllables. But if they actually want to go to the mission field and go share, I just read a report of Grace missionaries in Taiwan and all the different places, they all go to language school first. Even the people who believe in tongue speaking, they go to language school before they go to the mission field. Why? Because they don't have the gift of tongues. They got to go learn the gift of that language so they can preach in wherever they go in another land. So, but here, charity never fails, but whether there'll be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. God's going to stop communicating by giving the gift of tongues. Whether there'll be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And what we're not talking about, everyone's going to be stupid now. Knowledge, the word of knowledge that we talked about in chapter 12 there. God given a revelation of knowledge. You know what? If you want to know about God's word today, you know what you got to do? You got to read. You got to read Paul's epistles, and then you're going to know what God has to say. You're not just going to sit there and think, okay, give it to me, Lord. That's all going to end. It was happening then, but it was going to end. So over in verse 39 of chapter 14 here, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. That's the major gift, so make sure you do that. Forbid not to speak with tongues. But when he says, forbid not to speak with tongues, they're already been given in verses 27, I'm not going to go back through it, to 35, the 10 regulations of the proper use of prophecy and tongues. And if you can't do it under those regulations, you're not to do it. So when you can do it according to Paul's regulations, he said, forbid not to speak with tongues. When God withdraws it, then it's done away with. But in verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, that's interesting because I always think about the order, because he's been putting order to everything because it's nothing but chaos going on in the church of Corinth. But decently. Decently means properly and honestly. Remember, they were all trying to speak in tongues. There's something dishonest about that because the Holy Spirit didn't give the gift of tongues to everybody. So when he says do all things decently and in order, do it properly the way God said to do it and for the reason God said to do it, and make sure you do it honestly. Only a true prophet to speak. Only a true person that has the gift of tongues or interpretation of tongues is allowed to speak. Do all things decently, and then it says in order. And that's the order, again, I just remind you to read for yourself, verses 27 through 35, and you'll see the order that is all to be conducted in. So that concludes chapter 14. Doesn't conclude my message, though. Because what the whole thing is about is the Apostle Paul calling on the Corinthians to acknowledge that the things that he writes unto them are the commandments of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, his apostleship. Sanj and I, on the way back from Chicago last week, we went down to Amish land in Indiana there, Shipshawana, but all the cities that are around there. And we did two things. It was very enlightening. We did a tour through the Amish Museum and who they are, what they're about. You get to respect them a little bit more than just, you know, the people who wear funny clothes and, you know, seem to stay away from society. The whole purpose of that museum is that we're not strange people. You know? We like to talk to you and all that kind of stuff. But then, the next day, we actually saw a working farm and then went to an Amish home and had dinner. Got to know this man pretty good. And it wasn't just us, but he'd answer any questions you have. Got to talk to him. In both cases, it was interesting, when I mean the museum and talking personally to this Amish man, one of the things was obvious is that back there, what they try to present to you is back in the Reformation, when people started looking at the Bible, rather than being led in the Dark Ages by the Catholic Church and only believe whatever the Pope and the priests say to you, that people began to actually read the Bible and realize that what they are being told is not found in the Scriptures. And one of the things is they began to realize there's no such thing as infant baptism in the Bible. John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He's calling Israel, people are missing that point, he's calling Israel to water baptism because that's part of the Old Testament cleansing, but they had to repent. Well, a child doesn't repent of anything. What's this infant baptism? And in the early days, 1500s, coming into the Reformation, people began to realize basic truths like that. Well, the Amish then, they're part of that group of the Reformation that began to see that and separate from the religious organization out there, separate from government, and tried to maintain. But they were persecuted for not baptizing their children. The state would order them. They had so many days to baptize their kids because they believed in adult baptism but not infant baptism. And if they didn't baptize their children, they're going to get killed. They're going to be executed. So they fled for different places, and eventually they fled to America where they had the freedom to believe the things that they believe. And as a result, there's no more Amish left in Europe, they said. They're all here, Pennsylvania, Ohio, a little bit of Michigan, Indiana. But when you understand, you listen to what they're saying, you realize there's a statement that I heard it said some, that the people who came out of the Reformation, that's called the Dark Ages, or the Reformation brought people out of the Dark Ages. It's like they barely got their nose out of the cave. Because here to this day, they're still talking about infant baptism isn't in the Bible. Well, we've known that since the 1500s. A lot of people know that now. And it's like they got this truth of the matter, but they don't know anything about why John water baptized, who John water baptized, and who is the Apostle Paul. I was able to ask the man. I asked him flat out, I said, because everything I heard, I wasn't sure they were true on the gospel. I said, do you believe a person is saved by grace through faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ, even apart from water baptism? And he looked at me and he says, yes, but. And when they throw the but in there, I don't know if his heart thinks that, yeah, I still need it now as an adult. Because if you believe what the gospel is, remember Paul said, oh, the hymn is able to establish you according to my gospel? Yeah. Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, for Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. You know what the gospel is? You're in Corinthians, we're going to cover it next week, but look at verse 3 of chapter 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And what did Paul preach? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It goes on to say, which also, not that he preached unto them, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. You're saved by believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for your sins. You know, John the Baptist never knew one day in his life that Jesus Christ was going to die on a cross. He was having trouble figuring out why Jesus Christ wasn't killing all the Romans and setting up his kingdom here. He didn't realize Christ had to die. John died before Christ did, never knowing that Jesus Christ died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. Let alone, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? That's a message given to the Apostle Paul. That's what Paul, he preached Christ and him crucified. That's what we started looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2. So here's this Amish man defending the fact that infant baptism doesn't do any good, but has no idea of where his gospel's found because he has no idea who his apostle is. He didn't do what Corinthians said. He does not acknowledge that the things Paul writes are the commandments of the Lord for the obedience of faith among all nations, us Gentiles. And as a result of that, he's not sure about what to do with water baptism and salvation. He doesn't understand clearly how he's saved just by believing the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. Substitutionary payment. Paid for all of our sins. was buried and rose again, and if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he's the full payment for sin, and was buried and rose again, according to those verses we just read, you're saved. You're saved from what? You're saved from going to hell. You're saved from the penalty of your sin, and you're saved unto the Lord. You become part of the member of the body of Christ. So I say to you, it is amazing. You realize there is no denomination, even to this day, that acknowledges that Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles for this dispensation we're living in. None of them. They always mix the Apostle Paul and 12 apostles and think they all preach the same thing. And they didn't even think they preached the same thing. Just read your Bible and you find out how Peter learned from Paul what he's preaching to the Gentiles. But even the so-called independent, non-denominational, fundamental churches, 99% of those do not understand who the Apostle Paul is and what his doctrine is and that his epistles are for us today. Come over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Here's a verse of Scripture where Peter is actually dealing with the problem where people are mocking. What happened to the coming of Christ? He's supposed to come and set up a kingdom. It hasn't happened. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 3 of 2 Peter 3, it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, Peter was preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Jesus Christ is here, he's going to set up a kingdom, and it didn't happen. Well, look at verse 9. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. That is, he's putting up with this whole world longer than the prophets ever said he would. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Everybody change your mind, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember he called it long-suffering? That's the delay, why the kingdom never came. Now look at verse 15. He says, now here's Peter telling you something. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, have written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things which in some things are hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, meaning twist, as they do also the other scriptures to their own destruction. Now notice he called Paul's epistles scripture, and they're different than the other scriptures. There's the scriptures to the nation of Israel, and then there's the scriptures of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles today that explain this long-suffering. How come the kingdom never came? And as I told you already, Paul explains that God cut off the nation of Israel for a time until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and then all Israel shall be saved. In the future, he's going to fulfill his promises to the nation of Israel. Peter learned that from the Apostle Paul. And there's people that will, to this day, that there's a book we have out there. It's not even written by someone who would be represented in any of our churches. But he realized something. Noah Hutchins, by the way. You might have heard him at Southwest Radio Church. He wrote a book, Why So Many Churches? And you know what his conclusion was? Churches haven't recognized who the Apostle Paul is in the revelation that was given to him. Praise the Lord. He recognized it. Now, he don't preach it enough on his radio program to get other people to see that, but he wrote a pretty good book about that. And the reason there's so many denominations out there, so many different beliefs out there, is they don't know where to go to find out what God said to us that we're to obey and believe today. But if a man is a prophet or spiritual, he's going to acknowledge the things that Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord. You know, as we read Corinthians, we've seen that there are other prophets in the age of grace. And there's also other prophets, apostles in the age of grace. But I say that to you because come over to Romans chapter 1, or chapter 11. You need to look at this verse and believe it. And then I'll make some statements. Romans 11, verse 13. Now, this is the chapter where Paul explains that God has cut off Israel until future time, and God's doing something different today. But in the process of saying that, he says in verse 13 of Romans 11, I speak unto you Gentiles, now notice this, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. The apostle Paul, when God saved Saul of Tarsus, he didn't need a 13th apostle, he had 12 apostles to the nation of Israel. And there's 12 tribes to the nation of Israel. Those 12 apostles are carrying out God's message. You know, by the way, an apostle is one sent by God with a message. 12 apostles are sent by Jesus Christ with a message to the nation of Israel. Paul says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. God raised up Paul and gave him a revelation of truth that's for us today in this dispensation that we're living in. And all someone needs to do is acknowledge that verse and they'd realize why there's different conflicts between what Peter said and what Paul said. It's because Peter's saying it to the nation of Israel concerning what God promised them. And Paul's writing to us as members of the body of Christ of what God is saying to us, what we are to believe today, what our hope is, what our promises are, even what the gospel is. They preached the gospel of the kingdom. Paul preached the gospel of the grace of God. He preached the cross. They didn't preach the cross. First time Jesus Christ told Peter he's going to go to the cross, he said, I'm going to go to the cross, be persecuted, die, be buried, raised the third day. Peter said, far be it from me, Lord, this will never happen to you. Why did he say that? Because he's preaching about Jesus Christ setting up a kingdom that's going to last forever. You can't die, you're our king. So Peter had no understanding of what the cross work of Christ was about. Nobody understood it until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, because Satan, if he knew what was being accomplished on that cross, would have never participated in rallying the people against the Lord to have him crucified. So, anyhow, what I want to say to you is there's only one person in the Bible that's called the apostle to the Gentiles. I just read you that verse. There's only one directly called by the ascended, resurrected Lord to be the apostle of the Gentiles. You have three records of that, Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, where you have a record of Jesus Christ calling the apostle, calling Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, but calling Paul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And then you have only one who received the revelation of the mystery concerning Jesus Christ that we just read about in Romans chapter 16 there. And he is the only one who writes God's word for the body of Christ. When he says, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord, nobody else wrote scripture to us today. Romans to Philemon are Paul's scriptures to us. That's why 9 out of his 13 epistles, he starts out, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. 9 out of his 13, he starts out acknowledging who he is. There's 9 of those he does. There's 3 places that he calls himself an apostle. Remember Romans 1:5, where we said, by whom we have received grace and apostleship? So he calls his apostleship as coming from God. It says in Galatians, let me just read this verse to you. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, for he that wrought effectual, that's God working mightily, for he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, that's a name for the nation of Israel, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So as Peter was an apostle to the circumcision, the same mighty, powerful God was working in Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. I say Israel. Peter was an apostle to the circumcision. Did I say it right or did I say it wrong? My mind's saying I said it wrong. And then Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. So 3 times he talks about his apostleship being to the Gentiles. 7 times he writes concerning himself among the apostles, or being an apostle. I don't have time to read all those verses to you, but the whole point is there's over 21 times that Paul keeps talking about himself being an apostle to the Gentiles. Remember that verse? He that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still. You can't read Paul's epistles without confirmation after confirmation after confirmation about who the Apostle Paul is and who he sent to and what message he has, a message of grace in this dispensation of grace. Someone could, if they read Paul's epistles, they're going to read it over and over again, confirmed 21 times. And after reading it all, they're still ignorant and refuse to believe what the Scriptures say. The Bible says, let them be ignorant. So Paul writes to us as members of the body of Christ. We get our doctrine, we get our gospel, we get our doctrine, we get our position that we're the body of Christ. We learn our walk, how we're to live down here, our duty, what commission we're to be fulfilling, our destiny, the rapture, all found in Paul's epistles for us. If you want to read about Israel's gospel, you want to read about Israel's doctrine, their position, their walk, their duty, their destiny, then you read it out of the rest of the scriptures, the other scriptures, other than the Apostle Paul. So let me do this with you just in close. Maybe I can't do it, but I got to do some of this. Come over to 1 Corinthians. Several places, but I just wanted you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sothenes our brother. So he starts out talking about himself as an apostle. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Verse 14. It says, I write not these things unto you to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring all things to your remembrance, bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. You see the emphasis of who he is and his message that he writes down. Chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye in the Lord. Paul confirming the fact he's their apostle. Verse 16, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. The dispensing of the gospel to the Gentiles. Chapter 15, and I'll close here. And this just 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, he says it two different ways. He says, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And the grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So the Apostle Paul, because of his persecution, he calls himself the least of the apostles, but by the grace of God he is what he is. What is he? The apostle to the Gentiles. He says in in 2 Corinthians, I'm not a bit behind the chiefest apostle, because he is the apostle to the Gentiles. And when you realize that, then you realize where your doctrine, where your gospel is, what you're to believe and obey in this dispensation. That's extremely important and not to be overlooked. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, I pray that everyone here perhaps just hears all that as a repeat of things they already know and believe, but usually among the saints that know the truth appreciate hearing it over again. If there's some just learning the scriptures, then Father, we thank you for the opportunity to point out what part of the Bible are you fulfilling today that we're to be obedient to, that we're to acknowledge. And I thank you, Father, that we're able to communicate that. And I pray that we might be able to communicate it to others who are just so far behind that they'd never even realize who the Apostle Paul is and what dispensation we're living in and what the truth is for us in this dispensation of grace is. Help us to be humble and be able to bring that to them, and pray that they'll be able to not be ignorant willfully, but acknowledge the truth and come to enlightenment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.